Luke, how was your return home from WordCamp Asia?
Oh man, I made the mistake of booking a budget airline and I had a terrible time with delays and uncomfortable seats. Like I had two flights. It was an 8-hour flight and a 3.5-hour flight, which, you know, not the longest, but also not the shortest. And not on the way there nor on the way back did I have a screen or even just a USB port or anything like that. The seats were cramped up close together and it was horrible. I'd never flying ever with Vietjet ever again.
Well, thanks to you, I installed the Flighty app. And so I followed your progress, actually. And I saw the delays and I thought of you. I ended up getting home before you did as a result of that. Well, other than that, how was WordCamp Asia for you?
Yeah, WordCamp Asia was good. It was good fun. I met some Indians at the airport on my way home who'd been at WordCamp Asia last year, and I asked them how was their WordCamp. And they said it was good, but not as good as last year. And I mean, I hate to lead with the negative, but I think I agreed with that. Like, it was a great WordCamp. The venue was a bit strange with multiple levels, kind of WordCamp US in that sense. Not as bad as WordCamp US was.
Yeah, yeah.
But the sponsor hall was separated on two different levels and kind of hard to find. And the speakers, some were on level three, some were on, the venue wasn't great. But as always with every WordCamp, the people were. So it was really nice to see old friends, see colleagues that I tend to run into once or twice a year in person, but talking with fairly regularly online.
I felt similar. I of course tend to focus on the positives, and there's so much that goes into organizing and fixed constraints, right? That was probably the best venue available in Taiwan, all things considered, right? And so I thought the organizers did a great job of working within the constraints that they had. I was really happy to experience. It was my first time in Taiwan and then Taipei. And the sponsor thing I noticed as well. And having been on that side with WordCamp US in the past, one of the difficult choices that you end up having to make is where do you put people, right? Hmm. And I was, on the one hand, I felt for WooCommerce and GoDaddy, who were in the smaller one kind of tucked away. Mm-hmm. But I was appreciative that they did that in that the other ones with them, the smaller ones, were more likely to be noticed, I thought, by having like the two big ones there. So it was interesting. It may have just been random selection. There's different ways to do it. But yeah, it's difficult working within some of those constraints. And
yeah, and of course, I don't really blame any organizers or anything like that. It's a volunteer role, you know, nobody's getting paid for this, and they did a really great job. I mean, the organizers did an absolutely fantastic job. Did you get I don't think you were around on the Saturday, same as me, so we both missed Matt's talk, but did you get a chance to watch it afterwards?
I haven't yet. How about you?
Yeah, I watched it at 2x or whatever it was, but it was not that interesting. A lot of fluff and speculation, and I don't know if there's really, if it was even worth attending, to be honest. It was just some softball questions and your standard political non-answers. That's harsher than it really deserves, but maybe you get the gist of what I'm saying.
I'm feeling actually a mix. I'm feeling both uninspired to watch it and also like curious at the same time. I'm like, oh, okay. Like there's probably more to it than that. But on Friday, so I caught a couple of talks. I really enjoyed Ben Thompson's talk, which was a bit of his story of getting into WordPress. And it was genuinely interesting, but I just, as a fan of his work as well, that was like a kind of a cool moment. Enjoyed that a lot. Not something I would have typically expected at a WordCamp. So I liked that. I also liked that the organizers, although it didn't seem to have panned out as expected, seemed to like make efforts to bring in folks who wouldn't be typical like WordCamp fare. Tim Ferriss was apparently scheduled to come out, and I had several people ask about that who like wouldn't normally have gone to WordCamp. So I'm curious to know more behind the scenes of kind of what into that, and it was a bummer for the organizers that it didn't work. But I like that they seem to be exercising effort to try different things with the flagships.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, bringing external speakers out. I think it'll really push attendance, and that's what it's all about for the organizers who are volunteers. Why are they doing it? Well, they want to organize a great event for WordPress, and having people actually come is the biggest reward that you could possibly get from doing that sort of volunteer work. So I think it's a great idea. Ben's talk was really good. I'm not a huge subscriber to your theory of WordPress as the operating system of the web, but it was in full force in this talk, especially towards the end when Ben Thompson was talking about launching his Stratechery platform, which is called Passport, and having a hosted version available in partnership with Automattic. So this is interesting, Jonathan. I don't know how much note you took of this, but my takeaway, actually the main takeaway from the talk, was he has developed this plugin for WordPress. It's a big plugin, like WooCommerce level big. And rather than just releasing it open source, which I'm sure he will also do, the main launch strategy here is to launch it as a kind of SaaS, a sort of WordPress powered SaaS that is hosted by Automattic and anyone can sign up for and pay for. Kind of imagine if you went to WooCommerce.com and hit sign up and had an online store directly from WooCommerce.com, rather than having to find a host and install WordPress and install WooCommerce and then get everything set up with all these extra plugins. You had a direct sign up experience, and maybe even for Passport, a different interface than WordPress entirely. I'm not sure. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
It will be interesting. And of course, you're hitting just right on several different strategies at the same time, right? WooCommerce recently, it's been since October, since there's a lot has happened in October when we did our last episode. WooCommerce, just before Matt's sabbatical, he announced that clear division of interest, that WooCommerce would be agnostic on the hosting front, that they'd work with anyone, that WordPress.com would just be competing with hosts normally. And so when I look at a move like this, I think there's a number of reasons for Ben's like connection. He used to work at Automattic. Automattic, I think, is a great partner for a number of different reasons. But I'd see a future state where Passport has the self-hosted version that you could do with anyone, and probably could even have multiple partnerships. Whether they would ever or not, I think it's a good example of a go-to-market strategy that where you partner with a host who has distribution and reach and infrastructure pieces. And I'm curious to see how it goes. I think it's interesting on its own. It's also interesting as a model. One thing I also picked up on that I hadn't realized before is that Ben's been innovating in the subscription space for a long time. He was one of the earlier ones to introduce this idea that you can charge for a blog and then build a business successfully around that. So it's a great kind of full circle moment as well.
Did any other WordCamp talks stand out for you?
So I quite enjoyed yours. You made good use of the 15 minutes.
Next.
But seriously, though, I actually, we're going to dwell on this for a moment. You talked about the 10 common mistakes that plugin authors could make in submitting to .org. I thought you did a great job of making that like quite pragmatic, like giving some reasons, giving some good examples and bad examples. I saw folks quite attentive to that. And you've been working hard over the past couple of months as part of the plugin review team to tackle the queue. And this seemed like a good, seems like a great example of like developer relations, right? Mm-hmm. Like how do we help educate people? How do we reduce the friction? I thought the talk was great, and it was nice to see the folks responding to it.
Thank you very much. It was a shorter talk, so I did try to find a point and stick to it straight away and reduce the amount of, intro, reduced it. I didn't put any stories or whatever in there. But I also was thinking of it from the perspective of maybe a bit of a coming out of the plugin team, or this is us. This is our first intro into the WordPress world. Like, come and meet the new plugin review team, which, you know, I wouldn't speak poorly of Mika, who was doing plugin review before, doing an excellent job, and actually just on her own as one person doing a better job than the, I don't know, 12 or so of us now are doing combined. She had previously been amazing at plugin review, but also, and understandably so, less involved in talking to people about plugins, and maybe less on the dev rail side. I think she'd say that was fair. Less on the developer relations side and more on the actually reviewing plugin side.
So a new idea for me, right, and something you brought up a couple of times, I've been thinking about this idea of developer relations in WordPress. It's not a new concept at all, but to me, it feels like the work that you and the rest of the team have been doing with the plugin review is opening up this opportunity to like develop a developer relations practice. And that seems something that you're kind of excited about. Can you give a bit more context for your thinking on that? Because I think it's a newer idea here in WordPress.
I can, so long as we understand that this is my views and not the plugin review team's views. You know, I have to definitely make that separation. So, and because of that, I can't say that any of these ideas are ever going to come into fruition. It's just something that I want and something that I hope for. So traditionally, WordPress hasn't had any specific developer relations role. You know, it's just been come on Slack and we'll talk there. And the result has sometimes been actually really bad experiences. I've had really bad experiences with various teams, like the meta team, for example, inside of WordPress, where people not knowing my intentions or people just having a bad day or whatever it is, just really short with me. Track is classic for this. I think that everybody knows that if you ask a question on Track, be prepared for a really, really blunt answer. And I don't think that's the best look, especially now where WordPress isn't a very sexy sort of development platform, and it's finding it hard to attract new developers. A lot of WordPress developers have been doing it for a very long time, and there's not a lot of people that are new to the platform, and they're in the age of contributors is average age is going up, and it's a real cause for concern.
Yeah, I agree. It is quite a cause for concern. I've heard from multiple folks who like tried to get involved and contribute in some way, shape, or form, and were just like quite hard discouraged. And there's good reasons for it, right? It's a massive project, but there's a lot of work to be done there. And I know this is something that the project has cared about for a long time, is like, how do we make it better for new contributors? And I love the work that you and the plugin review team have been doing, just like address a real pain point in .org right now, which is the plugin review process. And for you in particular, yeah, I've been hearing and observing great feedback on that idea of practicing DevRel here in WordPress. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes over the next couple of months. How has the process itself been for you, Luke, of working? Yeah.
I would want to just draw a difference between WordPress contributors and WordPress plugin authors and developers in general, right? Like,
yeah,
maybe
yeah.
There's been some DevRel work in the past for contributors. That has always been a focus of core. How do we get more contributors? But that's not actually what I'm talking about. There are lots of people who either use WordPress with page builders or people who work for an agency and are building themes, who never really interact with the .org community. Lots of people who even go to meetups who don't even interact with the WordPress Slack or WordPress.org blogs or anything like that. And plugin authors are one of those groups that I think are generally overlooked, partially because I think there's a bit of a stigma inside of the WordPress community when it comes to plugins. Like, oh, you're only here to make money. And I mean, partially it's probably because we see a lot of dark patterns, but there are also lots of plugins who are genuinely there to improve WordPress. And frankly, the WordPress project would not be near, even close to as big or as popular, as good as it is, if plugins didn't exist. So I think it's time to start treating plugin developers with a little extra appreciation.